You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth with you on this edition, looking ahead to the Derby. What a treat for us, Craig, because often me and you sit in the studio and we talk about racing on a Monday at Hexham or at Ayr or something like that. And frankly, on Saturday, the racing is so good from all around the country that it's actually a shame that we're only looking at four races.
We could talk about Hexham, Alex. Of course, it's the first juvenile hurdle of the season, if you prefer that to the Derby.
Now, I have been to Hexham numerous times on Derby Day because it normally falls on my dad's birthday. And I remember watching that juvenile hurdle off the back of, I think it was New Approach winning the Derby. Crikey, there's some horses there that, yeah, there's some wrong'uns, shall we say.
Yeah, you look at the sires of the runners in the race tomorrow. I did have a quick glimpse. I had to have a quick glimpse before we came on to do this podcast. And, you know, the likes of Bush Ranger and there's a few other flat sires in there. So
a fair few that will have had hopes potentially of running in the Derby at one stage
well,
or another.
Very slight hopes, that has to be said, Alex.
There's six runners. But Alan King's got one. Dan Skelton's got one. Brian Ellison as well.
So could we see an early favourite for the Triumph Hurdle?
I really hope not, because I won't be backing it. Brian Nelson has won the race, though, in recent years. So, anyway, enough about that. And if you do want to have a bet at Hexham or any of the other tracks tomorrow, then you're more than welcome to. We're going to focus on three races at Epsom and one at Musselburgh as well. The race, of course, that we're going to focus on primarily is the Derby. I will just say we're recording this at about 1:30 on Friday, so as we record this, we don't know the Oaks result, so we won't be looking back at yesterday's racing. We'll leave that to Dave Kellner on tomorrow's racing podcast to look back at the action. But we're all about looking forward, aren't we, Craig?
Indeed, Alex. And, you know, one thing we are keeping a close eye on is the weather. Because, as you said, we're sitting here at 1:40 on Friday, and it's still pretty much unknown whether these thunderstorms that are in the area are going to hit the track at Epsom. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if they do, there could be a change in the going, which will definitely affect certainly the horses I'm going to put forward on this podcast. So do keep a close eye on the weather forecast. I believe the most up-to-date forecast we have suggests it will remain fairly dry.
Okay. Now, without going into too much detail and naming horses just yet, the quality of this year's Derby has been called into question by a few of them. Now, we were just having a little chat off air, and you may think that it could be a little stronger than people are making out.
Well, let's not come to any, you know, concrete opinions at this stage. Let's see how the Derby goes, you know, and let's have a look at it after the race, and let's have a look at it later in the season to see how the form works out from the race. I wouldn't be too quick to say that it was a below par renewal. Alex, I think potentially there's some really good horses in the race that, you know, could step up on all known form.
It is rare as well in the Derby that you can basically have an each way bet on anything in the race.
Yeah, indeed, it's wide open. You know, it isn't a bad each way betting heat at all, which is unusual for a Derby, because we're usually looking at a short priced, you know, favourite from whether it be Aidan O'Brien's or John Gosden in recent years, but wide open this year, which is good.
What we'll do is I'll give you a show of the betting as it stands, and then we'll almost have profiles on each of the horses at the head of affairs, if that's okay.
That's so, not a problem.
Cliffs of Moher and Cracksman, the 4-1 joints as we record this. 7-1 for Eminent. Permian is 9-1. 12 for Best Solution. Capri is also 12-1. 14 then for Dubai Thunder and Venice Beach. Ben Battle is 20s with Khalidi. Douglas MacArthur 25s, also 25-1 Rekindling. Wings of Eagles 28s. Crowned Eagle is 40s with Salouen. 50-1 for Glencadam Glory and the Anvil. 150-1 for Peeler and Diore Lear. Is 500-1. I doubt we'll be doing a profile on that one. I think that's had quite enough attention over the last few days. Let's start then with Cliffs of Moher. Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore teaming up in a classic has been the way to go so far this season and for plenty of other seasons on top of this. What's not to like about a 4-1 poke in these silks with that man on board in a race like this?
Indeed, Alex, and you know, only had the one start so far this season, which came at Chester last time in the D-Stakes. We didn't really learn a great deal from that race. We learned that, you know, he has trained on, and he was in decent shape. And Ryan Moore gave a really telling after-race interview, you know, suggesting the horse wasn't anywhere near wound up for the race. There was a huge amount of improvement to come. And I think he ended up beating a decent horse in Bay of Port, who came from a long way back, and Mirage Dancer, who caught everybody's eye on the rail, finishing fourth. So I think it was a decent comeback run. Mm-hmm. He does need to step up on that performance if he is to win a Derby, but the way he went about his business suggests that the step up in trip's going to bring more improvement. I think he's quite a handy type, mm-hmm. which, you know, there's a few horses in here that you have to have slight doubts over the track with. You know, there's some big, robust horses that like to stride out in the race. And a 19-runner Derby as well could meet a fair bit of trouble in running. But Cliffs of Moher, for me, is quite a handy, athletic type of horse. So, you know, I think he'd be able to basically be put in any position in the race and handle the track well. A lot of pluses for Cliffs of Moher. And he clocked the best time figure of any horse in the race when winning a maiden at Leopardstown last year.
Okay. And he's also a son of Galileo. And I think I'm writing something that Galileo has also won every single classic so far this season. Well, I say he's won it. One of his progeny has,
yeah,
at least. So certainly interesting. The joint favourite with the O'Brien runner Cliffs of Moher is Cracksman, who is, of course, a son of Frankel. And interestingly, out of Radegunda, who I actually remember winning a race up at Newcastle, I think I'm right in saying, just when I was getting into racing quite some time ago. Craig's checking that for me. Am I right in thinking that? Early doors?
Oh, Alex, 2008.
Look at that.
You'd still be in your little shorts then.
I was 16, and obviously not placing a bet. I'd like to specify that. It was actually beaten as well.
I was just going to ask if you backed him.
Didn't even win. Persian Sea won, which was trained by, I think, Michael Jarvis. Anyway, we're reminiscing and we don't need to. Cracksman, 4-1 joint favourites, unbeaten for Connections, who have got a good record in the race. Of course, Golden Horn won this a couple of years ago. And another one who has to be respected. And crucially, we know handles the course.
Yeah, we know he handles the track. He got up to beat Permian here at Epsom earlier in the season, a horse that's gone on to win the Dante and Frank that form. And he is one of the horses in the race. He is a long striding individual, Alex, but I think Frankie Dettori is going to have to show this horse as much daylight as possible, because he, in a big field, a 19-runner race round a tightish track like Epsom, you can see this horse getting into a fair bit of trouble in the race. Mm-hmm. And I think Frankie will be keen to have him positioned on the outside, show him as much daylight as possible, let him get into that long stride at an early stage in the race. He'll need to be wound up. You know, that is the obstacles, really, that, you know, as well as the opposition, that he needs to overcome. Mm-hmm. And I think the big field could be his undoing. I think I can see this horse being an unlucky and running loser.
Would it be a concern for you as well that Frankie is almost well known to not get on with Sons of Frankel's, perhaps as well as other jockeys do?
I wouldn't be too much of a concern. For me, Frankie Dettori is riding better now, mm-hmm. than at any stage of his career. Okay. I think he's for me, he's the best judge of pace in the game at the moment, mm-hmm. of positioning a horse in the race.
Okay. Right, next in is Eminent at 7-1. This is where it really gets wide open, because whether you like the favourites or not, the joint favourites as things stand, you have to respect their chances and that they are worthy of their place at the head of affairs. But now there comes perhaps the scope for a bit more value to be found. Eminent is next in, 7-1, Craig, and was well touted before the Guineas, was not necessarily disappointing on that occasion, but certainly a big run would need to follow that for us to properly think of Eminent as... Well, put it this way, can this horse win the Derby?
No. Okay. That's a simple answer,
basically,
Alex.
I think that's what I was trying to get at there in a sort of fancy way. Why can't the horse win the Derby?
I think he needs to step up on all known form. He finished, you know, a decent sixth in the Guineas, and he was building on a comeback when winning a Group 3 in the Craven Stakes at Newmarket, but I think he'll come up a little bit short. He did finish ahead of Ben Battle, who reopposes here. And Ben Battle, for me, has got every chance of turning round that form now that the two meet, you know, racing over a mile and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, fully against Eminent.
I am.
Okay.
No sitting on the fence here.
No, that's fine. Next in the betting is the 9-1 shot Permian. Now, we've already touched on that one a little bit. And Permian has got form tied in with obviously Cracksman in this contest. But what do you make of Permian?
I mean, he's a tough horse, Alex. He's been in good form so far this year. He showed a nice turn of foot to win the Dante. Ben Battle sat fairly close to a half-decent pace in the race. Permian was a couple of lengths further back, but he quickened impressively under Franny Norton on the inside, and he won well. Ben Battle was fighting back all the way to the line, and you have to think, you know, with the extra yardage and that little bit further to race over, I think Ben Battle would have every chance of turning round the form from Permian. For me, Ben Battle as a horse, absolutely crying out for a mile and a half, where Permian may have reached, you know, his optimum trip at York Racing over just over an extended mile and a quarter.
And Permian is fully exposed. It's odd to see a horse so well fancied for a race like this when, put it this way, the profile between Permian and, let's say, Cracksman couldn't be much more different.
Indeed. Yeah, he's a
despite
tough,
the fact that they have gone up against each other.
He's a tough horse. We know what we're going to get. I think, for me, his biggest issue is his stamina. He's still got to prove he's going to get this trip.
Okay. 10-1 then for Best Solution next in the betting. The number one Godolphin representative, at least on the current odds. Pat Cosgrove rides for Saeed Bin Sarraw. And was a winner when last seen, but you're not crazy about this one?
I'll give up the game if this wins, Alex. That's how keen I am that this horse has very little chance. I thought it was an abysmal Derby trial at Lingfield last time. He'd won it well. You know, there's no knocking the performance, really, the way he went about it. But in that grade, that was fine. Mm. You know, stepping up into a classic wouldn't be for me at all. I think he needs to find a lot of improvement, Best Solution. I fancy Ben Battle to come out best of the Godolphin horses, and couldn't have Best Solution. I mean, I just did not like the Oaks or the Derby trial on that day at Lingfield 3 weeks ago.
Okay. What about others then? There's plenty of other interesting contenders that we haven't touched on. Aidan O'Brien's got a few of them as well. Right, we've got Venice Beach next in. Aidan O'Brien's second string, if you like. A horse that I'm a big fan of, to be honest, Craig. I fancied the horse over at Chester when it got the job done pretty nicely in the Chester Vase. And beat Wings of Eagles on that occasion. Of course, reopposes with that one today. Another one who undoubtedly needs to step up, but could well do so and looks an out-and-out stayer.
He does, yeah. One thing about him, and I think he will confirm the form with the other two Aidan O'Brien horses from Chester. He was well on top at the finish, Alex. Obviously, Wings of Eagles caught everybody's eye the way he ran on in the closing stages there. But for me, Venice Beach was well on top at the finish. He was pulling out more. He's a big horse. You know, my concerns with him, he may well get unbalanced round a track like Epsom, and that would be the biggest concern. But potentially, you know, if he did handle the track, you know, he's one that you could give a fair shout to at double-figure odds.
Okay, and there's plenty at bigger prices as well that are certainly interesting. Aidan O'Brien's got a few others, likes of the Anvil and Capri. We've got Khalidi, who's come in for a little bit of support for John Gosden and Pat Smullen. Of course, that one won at Goodwood just last week. What wins? Or is there anything else at a bigger price that we haven't touched on that maybe could just run into the frame, or is maybe overpriced?
I think we need to touch on the other two Godolphin runners, Ben Battle, who finished second in the Dante. I think there's more to come from him up and trip. If I had to put one up at a decent price, he would be the value each way bet in the race. And, you know, keep an eye on the weather, because if it turns soft, Dubai Thunder, who only won a maiden in Newbury, would be a player. He does have a rounded knee action, and he will need the rain for his chances to increase. But for me, Alex, Cliffs of Moher, the most likely winner, the each-way angle Ben battle.
Okay. Cliffs of Moher then gets the nod for Craig Forsyth in the 2017 Epsom Derby. We're going to focus on two more races at Epsom on this podcast before we just focus on one at Musselburgh as well. The 310 is the Diomed Stakes, and Sovereign Debt is one who's sure to be well fancied here, as is Custom Cut, two old boys who we know everything about. That said, they are up against some other likely contenders, but it'd be great to see either of those two old boys, who have been in really good form recently, to poke their nose in front once more.
Yeah, they finished third and fourth in last year's race, and Custom Cut was just reeled in the closing stages of that race. I think he was beaten two heads on the line. Sovereign Debt didn't get the best of runs through. He was met a lot of trouble in running. He ran on well for fourth. One thing about Sovereign Debt is, you know, he looks to have improved again at the age of eight for Ruth Carr. Mm. And they're riding him much more handy now, closer to the pace, as he was when winning at Sandown last time. And he's handled that change really well to his racing tactics. So, obviously, the two horses, as they did last year, have penalties to carry. Sovereign Debt has the maximum this year, with Custom Cut also having a penalty. And that could well make it tough for the pair again. I'm not keen on Folkswood. I thought he got the absolute run of the race two starts back at Newmarket and failed to get the job done. You know, that turned into a sprint where the prominent racers had the race between them, but Steel of Madrid got the better of Folkswood, and I didn't like the horse's attitude at Chester last time behind Deauville. So Folkswood is a no-no for me. Here Comes Wayne is the most likely winner. He would be my selection here. I flagged this York handicap up on the clock after the race last time, and the form has been franked earlier this week. Another Touch was a winner for the Richard Fahey team. The ground officially that day was good to soft, Alex, and they went and they dipped under standard here in a good mile handicap. Here Comes Wen, obviously was suited to a big field because he is a keen goer. He's a horse that can take a little bit of a hold in his races, and he will need to settle, you know, and as he steps up in grade here. But you look back through, you know, the archives, and as a four-year-old, he was a winner of a group race. So he has proved he can make the step from handicap company into pattern races, and hopefully that shouldn't prove too much of a hindrance here. For Here Comes Wen, who did clock a sensational time when winning at York last time.
Okay, so that's the pick.
That is the pick. I think the danger is, oh, this is us. Mm. Horse alike. I mean, the form of his Bath win is eventually coming good. I thought it was a decent race at the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, the horses on the next start did disappoint. Oh, This Is Us disappointed at Haydock. LVIP disappointed on the same day, but he's since came out and absolutely bolted up at Newcastle on Thursday night. Mm. So the form is now starting to work out from that Bath win. And he, of course, you know, overcame trouble in running to win at Haydock last time. He had to wait for the gaps. It didn't look like there was going to appear, but Tom McQuan squeezed through just in time for this horse to get his head in front. He could well be a 7-furlong specialist, although he did win over a mile of Bath, it must be said.
Yeah.
But I think that 7-furlong trip really suits Oh, This Is Us. And hopefully Here Comes Wen may just have too much speed for him in the closing stages here.
Okay, fair enough. Talking of speed, let's move on to the 3:45, shall we? It's the Epsom Dash. One of the fantastic races of the season, as far as I'm concerned. It is the fastest five that you will see. And you've got all your old favourites running in this one. We've got the likes of Kimberella, Caspian Prince, Duke of Firenze, Boom the Groom. You look a bit further down Line of Reason and Desert Lore in this. Plenty of others and a few younger horses as well who are sort of having their first crack up against these old boys. But these old boys have still got plenty of speed in their legs, haven't they?
I opened up old wounds watching last year's renewal, Alex. It was horrifying. I backed Kimberella in the race last year. Missed five lengths in a 5-furlong sprint at Epsom.
Yep.
And got beat a short head. It was frightening. You know, the first four home were drawn 17, 18, 19 and 20 last year. Caspian Prince was the horse that that got his head in front. But you look, you know, we've got Desert Law, another previous winner of the race. Duke of Firenze's gone well in this race in the past. But, you know, we're talking about horses here with great form in this race, good course form, but none of them are all that well handicapped nowadays. Mm. You know, the handicapper has caught up with them. You know, and I'm looking for a horse here that looks well-treated, and Line of Reason is definitely the one that stands out to me. He caught my eye at Pontefract two starts back. He has become extremely well handicapped nowadays. That was off a mark of 99 at Pontefract, where he finished fourth behind Judicial. He made a bit of trouble in running. Obviously, the race has worked out well. Judicial went on to win a nice race at Chester. Edward Lewis, who finished second, has gone on to win again. Northgate Lad ran a tremendous race on his next start at York. He was drawn one, and the draw beat him, but he still ran well in defeat. And Line of Reason, who needs top of the ground, he is one we need to keep an eye on the weather for, was drawn one at York last time. Never an ideal draw, although the way the race panned out, they did drift across to the far rail, but the heavens opened just before the York race. And again, I mean, Line of Reason looked like he was going to play a big part in the finish. He was badly hampered. Paul Morenin had to squeeze him up. He had nowhere to go. At worst, he was going to be second, Alex. Mm-hmm. But because of the interference that took place, he's lost a lot of momentum. And the horses that did have the momentum down the middle of the track, you know, flew past him, and he's ended up finishing seventh, shaping much better than the bare result. I think he's the one that sticks out from a handicapping point of view. He's in good form at the moment. If he gets top of the ground, he's the each-way player in the race, Line of Reason.
Okay. Line of Reason getting the nods in the Epsom Dash, but of course you could give a chance to so many of them, couldn't you, in a race such as this. It is very, very much wide open. Let's just move to Musselburgh then for one race up at the Scottish venue that we had to mention on the podcast, not least because Craig's in. But it's a cracker. It's the Edinburgh Cup coming up at 3:25, a race that always seems to throw up a nice enough type. It's not your typical staying handicap. It generally, or in recent years at least, has gone to a fairly unexposed type, and there's no shortage of those this time around.
Yeah, there's no way you was getting away without me talking about this race on the Derby podcast, Alex. I mean, it's a great race in its own right.
It
really is. And the fact that Edinburgh Gin sponsor it as well is another bonus.
Well, if you'd like to send us any, by the way, people of Edinburgh, we're always welcome.
Alablaster is the horse that heads up the market here. He's a hard ride, you know, this horse. He takes a little bit of driving, and Luke Morris does get on well with him. But I have doubts of how well he will handle the track at Musselburgh. He stayed on well to win well at Chelmsford when stepped up and trip. And, you know, he's a typical Sir Mark Prescott, late maturing galloper that, you know, is improving as he steps up and trip. But a mile 6 round Musselburgh could prove pretty tight for him. And I'd pass him over for that reason. Time to Study ran a nice race in the London Gold Cup at Newbury. There's no getting away from that performance. He's a sort of motivator. He's another one that looks an out-and-out galloper, Time to Study. But you look at the pedigree, and particularly the dam side of the pedigree, and there still has to be a little bit of doubt, you know, whether he will stay this extra 6 furlongs or even 4 furlongs as he steps up to a mile and 6.
Yeah.
You know, that is the doubt for him. Visually, definitely looks like you'll get it. Pedigree, maybe not. So, you know, stall 10 as well isn't ideal for Time to Study. But I'm going to stick with that yard, and Mark Johnson could well have the winner here. And one at a much bigger price is Mr. Manduro.
Okay, PJ McDonald on this one.
Yeah, for a prominent runner, Alex, he's ideally drawn in stall 3. And I think, you know, despite the marathon trip of 1-6 around Musselburgh, it does pay to be drawn low and race on the pace, for sure. And this is a horse that could leave all known form behind as he steps up to a mile and 6 for the first time. Lots of stamina on the dam side of the pedigree. Related to stairs, he's by Manduro, whose progeny usually stay well. And if it was trained by anybody else on the back of a poor run at Newmarket, you'd be passing him over. But the fact that you see Mark Johnson horses bounce back from poor runs so many times, he has to be of interest here from a handicapping point of view, and a mark of 88. I think he's the pace angle. I think he's the horse that, you know, is very well treated. He's got the class, and I think he's the one that could well take this this race.
Okay, fair enough. So Mark Johnson to land the Edinburgh Cup. You're going to side with which one?
Top one. Mr. Manduro.
You're going to side with Mr. Manduro?
Yeah.
To get the better of Time to Study. But both of them massively respected in this contest. Great stuff, Craig. Can you just spin us through your four fancies for Derby Day, starting with the big one coming up at 4:30?
Yeah, hopefully Cliffs of Moher can add yet another classic for Aidan O'Brien in the 3:10 at Epsom. We're going with the York winner. Here comes Wen. And the dash, the 3:45 line of reason is a good each way bet for Paul Midgley and Paul Mulrennan. And finally, up north at Musselburgh in the Edinburgh Gold Cup, we're going with Mr. Manduro.
Great stuff, Craig. Make sure you join the team on William Hill's Racing Radio on Saturday for all of the best action. There's so much racing that you'd be bonkers to miss it. And hopefully, we've pointed you in the direction of a winner or two, including potentially the Derby winner. Great stuff, Craig. Thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you, Alex.
And we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.